Yep. All right, we're in Exodus chapter 34 tonight, looking at the name Elkanah. It has double meaning. It means he is our consuming fire and he is our jealous God. And so we're going to look at the first part of it, Exodus chapter 34. And in fact, I want to read this passage. Why don't you hit the button one more time? Because I put the bottom part on the top. So anyway, I messed up. Okay. So anyway, then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Porchlites. It doesn't say that. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you're going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God, Elkanah. He is our consuming fire. The scripture tells us that he wants, when we trust him as our Lord, he wants to be Lord. That means he wants everything. He wants all of us. He doesn't want part of us. He doesn't want three quarters of us. He wants all of us. He is jealous for you. And I remember David Crowder came out with a song a few years ago, He is Jealous for Me. And every time I hear that song, I'm reminded of how much he really, 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 really does love you and me. He does. Without a hitch, without a stop, he is jealous for you. Not just part of you or most of you, but all of you. He wants every part of us. And so when I think about that, I think about, you know, how can he want that much of me, but I not give him all of myself? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 says, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord. We just talked about that covenant. Your God made that with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. No wonder the very first commandment that God gave Moses to give to the people was, you shall have no other gods before you. And yet, it's easy for us to put ourselves on the throne. It's easy for us to put other people on the throne. It's easy for us to put things on the throne and make gods out of all kinds of things rather than him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, a couple of chapters over, verse 13 through 19. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and the decrees he's given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on an oath to give to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has said. Now, you remember, God had told the Israelites, I'm giving you this land. And what I want you to do is to go in and to take it. And don't leave anybody there. You're supposed to get rid of all of them. Either they run away or you kill them. They've got to be eradicated. And that's exactly what the Israelites did, right? Nope. Man, it wasn't long till they were already making treaties with people. They were marrying into other groups. They were doing, and before long, they're worshiping the little g gods of other nations. Exactly what God had told them not to do. are we stubborn or what? Are we selfish or what? You know? God simply says, if you'll do this, I will take care of you. I will give you. I will provide for you. I'll do all these things for you. If you'll just follow me as God. I am your God. There are no other gods. His desire is for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says it like this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. See, God has it all laid out for us. That's His plan. What thwarts that plan? Us. We get in the way. He is a consuming fire. He doesn't want just a part. He wants all of us. And it's interesting when you think about the fire of God, how many times God shows Himself through the fire. The pillar of fire in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory fire on the mountain. I mean, when Moses came down, his face burned like fire. It was, I mean, over and over and over again, God shows Himself many times as a fire. One of the characteristics of fire is that it consumes everything that it ignites. God wants us to be consumed by Him. You ever heard anybody say, man, that guy's on fire for God? What does that mean? That he's really excited? That's kind of what we think sometimes. That he's really excited about God. But no, what it really means is that guy's on fire means he's burning out everything about that guy because it's all about God. It's all about Him. And when you compare that with the passage of Scripture in James, when it talks about the testing of your faith produces perseverance, the testing is the burning away of all the dross, all the stuff in us that doesn't need to be there. And that's why Paul told Timothy, he says, go through your house. If there are things that aren't worth good things, get rid of them so that you can be meet for the Master's work. He wants all of us. He wants to consume every part of us because the fire it is that purifies us. When He consumes us, the us has to leave, and He is remaining. I wonder how many times we've said, God, I want to give you all of myself. Here I am. I lay myself on the altar as a living sacrifice. But as a living sacrifice, we get right back up and go do what we want to do. Zechariah chapter 2. Verse 5 says it like this, and I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord, and I will be its glory within. He's talking about His people. He's talking about those who've called Him God. How tragic it is for people, even Christians, who call themselves the people of God, the ones who follow Christ. How tragic is it for us to say, I'm following Christ, and yet we're not following Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Folks, I don't know how else to say it other than the fact that God wants everything about us. Everything. And the more we hold back, the more we want what we want, the more we hold God kind of at arm's length and say, God, I'll give you a little bit of myself. I was reading a book many years ago by Chuck Swindoll, and it says, God, I want $2 worth of you today. Not enough to shake the world or anything, but just enough to get through this day. So I give me $2 worth of God today. God is a consuming fire. And God is a jealous God. Now, the word jealous here is not the kind of jealousy that we think about, which is a very selfish kind of thing. This is a very righteous kind of thing. Because God knows nothing but good. Everything He desires for us is good. You know why He wants all of us? Because His ways for us are better than our ways for us. He doesn't want us because He can brag about it. God could do anything He wants to. He doesn't want all of us just so He can say, well, I've got all these people following me. No, God wants all of us because He knows it's best for us. That's why John the Baptist could proclaim, He must increase and I must decrease. I mean, no wonder Jesus said of John the Baptist, no greater person has been born. Because he gets it. He understands that he's got to get out of the way so that the Messiah, the Christ, can rise. No one could desire anything better for us than our loving Heavenly Father. Now, I got to tell you, being a parent, you understand how much you love your children. But when you have grandkids, it gets multiplied. Because through your kids, you got something else that you're also so much in love with. You know, and I got to spend this weekend, thank you for letting me go, with my two granddaughters. And oh man, did we have a time. We had a time together. And my daughter-in-law was real excited about it because she got to go shopping by herself. And Papa got to take care of the girls. And boy, we built forts and we had all kinds of... But you know, the thing of it is, I love them so much. And every time I'm around them, I just want the best for them. And I want to do for them. And you understand that feeling. It's so much more. What God feels for us. So much more. We can't even comprehend the height, the scriptures of the heights and the depths of His love. No one can comprehend it. Psalm chapter 18, verse 30 says it like this. As for God, His way is what? Perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who will what? Take refuge in Him. Taking refuge means I run to Him. I don't say, God, just hold my hand as I walk through life. I run and jump in His arms and say, God, here I am, all of me, with warts and all. Take me as I am. I am yours. I'm yours. He's looking. The scripture says all over the world, looking for those whose hearts are stayed on Him. He's looking for people who will truly follow Him. He's jealous for us. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So how in the world can we think that we know best? He knows best. And so as we allow Him to come and to cleanse us and to hold us and to guide us and to put His loving arms around us and to pour His Word into us and to fill us with His Spirit. I mean, folks, that's what God wants. He is a jealous God because He knows He's best for us. He's best for us. So His jealousy for us is righteous. It's not to hurt us or harm us, but to give us a hope and a future as we saw in Jeremiah 29:11. And His jealousy for us is ever pursuing. Let me tell you this about God. He's not ever going to give up on you, ever. He didn't give up on Bud, did He? He's not going to give up. He'll do whatever it takes to establish a relationship with you. He'll never stop desiring a complete relationship with you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He's desiring to be connected with everyone. He's desiring to have a relationship with everyone, and he's not going to ever stop pursuing us. His love never fails. Psalm 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. 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 He's a jealous God. He's not going to stop. He's going to continue to pursue. So the question we all have to ask ourselves is this. Can you think of times in your life that God never gave up on you? There are times, I think all of us have faced them, where we thought, man, how could God still love me? How could God care for me? How could God use me? How could God continue to come and pursue me? Because his love never fails. His love endures forever. He's never going to give up. He's never going to give up. I remember I had a friend in high school. He had a little... what do they call those? Jack Russell Terrier. That was the honoriest little dog I've ever met in my life. Oh my goodness. And he wasn't mean. He was just ornery. And he would grab your pant leg and he would not let go. I mean, you know, and you're like, get off me. Don't, you know, he would not let go. And my friend Randy would, you know, he'd say, hey, stop it. And he'd go, and he'd stop. I mean, and I'm, but as long as Randy let him go, he would go. And I, you know, it was an hour later, come on, like, get him off me. You know, it's just that dog, yeah, maybe trained him for me, you know, but that dog, he wasn't going to stop. He wasn't going to stop. You see, God always is there, and he will always be there for us. And the reason is because of who he is. When you look at God in that perspective, you see a God who wants to consume us with himself, and he'll pursue us till he gets us. And woe be to those people who say no to God. Because there'll be a day when all of us will stand before him. And I believe with all my heart the technology in heaven is going to be much better than it is here. And somehow God's going to show every person how much he pursued them and how much he loved them. And they're going to look at that and say, why did I not receive that love? And then he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. God's not going to give up. He's not going to give up. He didn't give up on Bud. He's not going to give up on your daughter. He's not going to give up. He's not going to give up on your husband or wife. He's not going to give up. He's going to continue to pursue. He's going to continue to want to consume us. And as he consumes us, we become salt and light that the Holy Spirit can use in the lives of the people around us, and people that you would maybe not even expect that you would have any influence at all on. God will use you in their lives because he's just looking for people that are willing to say, here I am, God. You remember Isaiah saw that. And that vision in Isaiah chapter 6, as he saw God, the glory of God filling the temple. And he realized who he, you know, he realized, God, I'm not worthy of this. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. And immediately, God says to him, he doesn't say, Isaiah, you need to clean up your act. He says, who's going to go and tell these people? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Consume me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. God is looking for people. He is waiting for us. And he's patient. His love never fails. He's patient. He'll do whatever it takes to get our attention. He's an awesome God, isn't he? Yeah. Father, I thank you. Elkanah, I thank you for being a consuming fire and a jealous